Welcome to Let's Do Lunch,
a podcast about life, tech, trends,
ingrown nose hairs,
and whatever else comes up.
I'm Jared.
And I'm John. And you are the listener.
The chosen few, the proud, the bold.
Those who sift through a few NC-17 ratings to discover this, the finest jewel of discourse.
Those who don't really mind those sloppy eating sounds.
Who dare to join two average white nerds in a lunch conversation.
For the next hour, you're one of us.
Like, metaphorically, right? I'm still John?
Not now, John. Save the banter for the lunch.
Today on Let's Do Lunch.
Which is kind of like saying, here's a bunch of turds, which one do you want to eat?
Yeah, well, you never know what's going to happen here on this wacky show.
Almost had a mark explicit on this one. That was, oof. Do you want that one reproducing? Not me.
Welcome to Let's Do Lunch, ladies and gentlemen. This is T.C. Eggington's. We've managed to find the whitest restaurant here in Mesa, Arizona.
It's very prim and proper, isn't it? It feels like a country club.
It's kind of down home, old town. And, like, last night, we just watched Get Out.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. It's on my list,
which
still
is the movie of the black guy going to the white girl's family.
Right.
And it's a horror movie.
Yeah, made by the Key and Peele. Well, actually, just the Peele part of Peele. Key and Peele.
You know right. that Peele is married to a white girl.
Yeah, and he himself is also a mixed race.
But, like, it's like a documentary.
I think documentary might be a little forward. But you know, the guy who plays the psycho father in the movie?
Yeah.
I heard him being interviewed once, and he said that not too long ago he went into a barber shop just to get his hair done. And he got quite the reaction from everyone in the barber shop.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, heck no. But I mean, you know, they weren't really mean to him. It's because, you know, he's actually a nice guy.
Sure.
But he's definitely
just gotta haze him a little. Why
he's
not?
He's earned a little infamy in the African American community.
Uh-huh.
I think rightfully so. I haven't seen it all, but I know quite a bit, and I've seen clips. So
yep, I caught it. It was enjoyable.
It's on my list. I'm so bad about movies. I'm really good about watching TV, but with movies, I never catch up.
Yeah, you can't.
No, you can't. You have to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Yeah, that's why we need that. Television
concierge,
yeah.
Yeah, so TV I've got on lock. I'm pretty good. I catch most shows because I can do it in bite-sized snippets. But movies take too much of a commitment for me.
Yeah.
So I never get around to a lot of movies.
You can only really do like 5 movies a day if that's your job.
Yeah.
And there's more than that number of movies that get released just, you know, in the Middle East.
Well, you know, I have some contacts at the radio station, and I was talking to this guy who does the movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, like, Wednesdays is, like, premiere day or early premiere day. Because, you know, a lot of movies come out on Friday. They have early screenings on Wednesdays.
But then they do a Thursday midnight thing usually.
Well, they do for customers. But for early screenings, it's usually, like, Wednesdays or sometimes Tuesdays. And they'll corner it off and just have, like, press-only or by-invitation-only kind of events. And he goes to these all the time.
And he's got plus-one tickets for you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I've seen a couple early ones with him. But, like, he's saying that he'll have 3 movies in a night sometimes. I would think I would love that job. But I think after a while of having to watch movies that you know are probably horrible, because they can't all be good.
Uh-huh.
So you have to sit through a lot of crappy movies, and you're committed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm beginning to think maybe I wouldn't enjoy being a movie critic as much as I thought I once would.
You can, but these days, I mean, you know, years ago you had nothing to do but focus on the movie, but these days you can drop some Candy Crush.
Well, actually, at these screenings, they are strict. If you even bust out a cell phone just to check a text, they will come up to you and confiscate
How do you take
your
notes?
Phone. You don't. You can do handwritten notes if you want.
You have to memorize the whole movie.
Well, because they're worried about piracy, advanced screening piracy stuff, or. But also, they want to make sure that the people who are there, like the critics, are enjoying the movie. They don't want the critics distracted by some guy in front of them cell phone glow. So they are strict about cell phones at these things. I mean, if you like the movie, it's fun. But that's why I like having my connection, so I can pick and choose.
Yeah.
I don't have to have the obligations that is now...
Yep.
Movies have turned into an obligation for him. And at that point, I'm out.
And let that sucker finish out all the rest of the movies.
That's right.
We got him.
I still haven't seen that 3 Billboards movie yet either.
Okay, that was a good one.
It's
that
on
you
my
missed.
List. I know. So
how about Greatest Showman?
No, and also
no?
on my list.
Uh-huh.
See, I've got
I've
so
seen
many
that one
of
too.
These. Well, you know, a lot of it is if I ever do get to watch a movie, my wife usually ends up wanting to pick it, and then I watch some horrible chick flick that I just hate. But I do it for my
Come
wife.
On. What was your last chick flick then?
Oh, I don't even remember them all anymore.
It's all sad girl.
I think the last one was actually not too bad because my wife said it had to be a chick flick, so she let me kind of have a pick, which is kind of like saying, here's a bunch of turds, which one do you want to eat? But nonetheless,
Some of those turds are chocolate.
But yeah. Well, I picked The Big Sick, which was the one by, what's his name, Kumar? I can't remember his last name. He's the Pakistani comedian who's often mistaken as an Indian comedian.
You're not talking about the guy that just got the sexual assault, Aziz Ansari?
No, not Aziz Ansari.
Okay.
No, he is an Indian. This guy is a Pakistani who doesn't like that he's always mistaken for an Indian, because, you know, Pakistani's an Indian.
Come on, they're right next to each other.
Oh, yeah,
what do you want from America?
So, but anyway, it's a true story about his life, about how he came to America, did stand-up comedy, met this girl, she's a white girl, and so there's some intercultural things there.
Mm-hmm.
And they dated for a little bit, broke up, and then she went into a coma. And then he stayed by her side during the entire coma, and her parents were there, and they're like, what are you doing here? You guys broke up. And like that's how they met him. It was really awkward, but they ended up getting married shortly after she came out of her coma. And like he fell in love with her more during her coma than when they were dating, when they were both conscious.
The way you're lying there, baby.
Really? Seems a little rapey to me. Like,
yeah.
Bill Cosby-esque? I don't know. But anyway, they're happily married now. And it's a really amusing story. It's a well-told thing. The jokes are better than typical like romantic chick flick things. So.
Uh-huh.
It passed my muster for what a chick flick can be.
Okay.
And it's an online one. It's never hit the theaters.
All right. Well, I mean, we don't watch them too sappy, but I will watch, you know, the good movies that have girls in them as lead characters.
No,
that's
not my problem. But it's the sappiness. It's the cliches. You know, if I have to see like the Notebook kind of movie one more time, I'm going to throw up.
I don't think I've ever seen the Notebook.
I've seen it a few times, thanks to my wife, college and things.
What about one of the really popular, I don't know if it would be considered a chick flick, is Love Actually.
Yeah.
Would you consider that a chick flick?
I've seen...
It's for the ladies.
It is.
But it's not really...
I'd say it still leans chick flicky.
Yeah?
Yeah. The name alone leans chick flick.
That
name is like strategically chosen to lure in the chick flick audience.
Uh-huh.
Like trite, actually, but nonetheless, we go see it.
Yeah.
Now it's the cliches. It's the same thing. It's the I'm stopping you at the airport. I'm running into the terminal, and who cares about security? Love will survive. Oh gosh, no.
I enjoy it. Well, I watch it every year.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
You can join me if you want.
No, thanks. Well, wait. We'll do
some pre-show.
Do we get to cuddle on the couch?
Sure.
Okay, I'm in. I'm back in.
I've got a jealous cat, though.
Can we actually get our menus back?
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Sorry.
Is it okay?
No, we're not ordering anything else.
Okay.
We just want to look at the menu some more.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
That's got to be confusing.
Obviously.
Why wouldn't we? Hello? It's our reading material. She was like, uh-oh, what'd I do
actually, wrong? Actually, the menus here are pretty interesting, so...
It's got chicken wire in the front. Thank you.
Thank you, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I've never seen chicken wire integrated into a menu before. It's kind of an interesting
They do that every once in a while. I've been to a couple of egg restaurants that do that.
Okay.
Did we say the name T.C. Eggington's? I don't think we said the name.
I thought we did.
Okay, it might have been, like... dropped right at the front. So we need to do this menu haiku, which we haven't done in forever.
Yeah, and this is a menu that I think could work with that.
This has a lot of potential.
All right, boy, it's been so long. 575. Let's see. Okay. I've got mine. And I didn't have to cheat. I found some weird words that you wouldn't expect in a menu. I mean, not weird, but like conjoining letters or words that you need to create a thought.
Uh-huh.
But I found them in the menu.
Yeah, I don't have like a thought, so like I didn't get a chance to tell a story that I wanted to tell, but I do have a bunch of witty phrases I think will work as a haiku that can possibly mean something.
Sort of those make your own meaning things, like a song.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
choose your own adventure in this our first menu haiku of the new year.
Yeah.
Western Union Bomb. Simple plain chicken passion. Morning hot piglet.
Yeah, it seems like each three of them... Actually, the first one and the last one seem like they could tie into some sort of weird I hate the government Unabomber sort of vibe.
Yeah.
The middle one seems like it's its own individual thought.
I think it kind of fits with the chicken passion kind of fits with the morning hot piglet.
All right, here's what I've got. Stuffed shells come from Holland. Jalapenos neatly roll, but bacon we love.
That's good. That's definitely worthy of like a novel.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is kind of like a comic strip, I think.
Yeah.
Where each individual panel kind of means something, and you're like, I don't know what's going on.
I could see it framed. Each panel could be framed and put on a wall in an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is going to happen with yours.
All
so
right.
There we go. Haiku. Done.
We've totally done it. It's wow. I mean...
I feel complete. We could end this right here, right now.
Do we even need to eat?
Let's just go. We could do like that skit from the Dana Carvey show. Have you seen that?
No.
Like the pranksters who, like, I think it was called The World's Worst Pranksters, and it was like a series of skits. So it was Steve Carell and Dana Carvey, and they would like go up to a drive-thru, and they'd order their food, and they'd pull up to the first window, and then they'd pay the guy... And then they would take off before they got their food. And it was so funny. Like, oh, we got him. Or they'd go to a movie theater and pay for a movie and then run off before they got their tickets. You know, and stuff like that. They thought they were the funniest pranksters. But it's like,
That's good.
It was a good bit.
Yeah, good satire on the impractical jokesters and those other shows.
Oh, this was did you remember the Dana Carvey show? Did you hear about this?
No, I think I might have seen an episode, but it's gone from my brain.
You have Hulu account? I think it's on Hulu.
Do I need to?
No, but it's a documentary. I think it's only on Hulu. It's called Too Funny to Fail, and it's about the Dana Carvey show, which lasted... 8 episodes, and 7 of which aired. So the 8th one didn't even get on air.
Wow.
But it was the first time America saw Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert. It was their introduction to America, because they had never really been on TV before.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was huge. It's actually what made them. That steps them into The Daily Show, which got them into wherever they went from there, right?
Yeah.
So it was huge. And this was right after Dana Carvey finished SNL. He was the longest running SNL cast member at that point when he retired from SNL.
So you could see baby Colbert in there?
Yeah.
That would be neat.
It's really interesting because this was like right out of they got out of Second City in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, I mean, Stephen Colbert had like a 1-year-old baby when this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hilarious concept. It was a really interesting sketch show. And it just failed miserably from day one. Oh, and Louis C.K. was the head writer for the show. And this was in the 90s.
Before anybody knew what the CK stood for.
Anyone who knew who he was at all, let alone what the CK stood for. This looks very interesting.
So here I've got a Piglet's Passion. You have the bacon.
I don't think I can carry this burrito in my hand. I think this is a fork and knife burrito.
Nice.
The way they drizzle the cheese on it.
Well done. I don't know. Should we be millennials and like selfie this and put it on the Twitter feed?
You know, I wonder. Being a lunch podcast, we really don't talk about lunch that much.
No.
Or the food. It's more like it's the background, but the conversation is the star, not
the
food.
The food is like the spine.
We're gonna get some extra noise now. Noisy with all the
trouble. Showing up. I asked for a nice quiet area, and they had just finished a big party of like 20 people in here.
Wow.
So we had this room all to ourselves, and then you took 20 minutes to show up and arrive at the scheduled time instead of 20 minutes early like I did.
To be fair, I was actually still 10 minutes early. I didn't know you were going to be that guy. You know what this reminds me of? I mentioned this earlier, Curb Your Enthusiasm came back on the air.
Yeah.
There was an episode where Larry David is always meeting up with Richard for meals like this. And he always wants to get, like, the good seat. And Richard's always getting the good seat. Because he's always going early to get that good seat. And so he starts trying to go earlier and earlier to these lunch meetings to try and snake out the good seat before Richard can, you know? And he never beats him. The guy's always there earlier than him, always. And he's like, how early are you getting here to get these good seats? And he says, what? I just got here early, so I got a good seat.
Yeah.
I just start getting here 2 hours early to try and get the good seat.
Hey, this is John. That was just the appetizer. You want a full course meal? Keep listening.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Bodine Tech. Bodine Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Bodine Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Bodine Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
So, last week we had our special guest.
Yeah, I thought that went really well.
He never said his name.
Yeah, that was kind of strange.
Even though I asked a number of times, you guys would not give me his name.
Yeah.
Although,
but his name was David Fletcher. His name was David Fletcher. His name was David Fletcher. Fight Club.
It was Meatloaf, wasn't it?
No.
Not that said that, that died?
No.
Who was it that died?
Robert Paulson.
Oh.
Meatloaf was just another character.
I think Meatloaf was my favorite sleeper character from that movie.
Your favorite what character?
Sleeper character. Like,
you thought he would just be a walk-on and then he came back later?
It was like a subtle thing. Like, it was like sort of cameo, but sort of not. No one saw that coming. And it wasn't like just like this is Meatloaf being a guy with man boobs. It was an actual, like, I don't know. I just thought it was amazing. Because it was not meant to be a hit. It wasn't trumped up. It wasn't like meant to be exciting. It was just, here's a subtle little nugget of joy slipped into the movie.
Yeah, I didn't know who Meatloaf was. I didn't recognize him by his face.
Well, have you seen him recently?
No.
Oh, man. Did I talk about him in a recent podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay. You need to Google Audrey.
Maybe with your other podcaster.
Yeah, well, you know, I do have 700 of these things. You need to Google videos of him recently. Like, he sang at, I think it was some sort of pep rally for Mitt Romney. When he was running for office against Obama's second term. And Meatloaf apparently is conservative. He's let his his everything go.
So he's kind of Alex Jones in it.
He doesn't look so great anymore, and his singing voice isn't what it used to be.
Oh no.
And he started, like, singing excitedly, like, I think it was, like, the national anthem or something, like, or parts of it. And it was bad. He butchered it so bad. It's like, wow, he's not singing anymore.
Wayne Newton, I heard that his voice is kind of falling apart.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was on Letterman, I want to say, like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And he couldn't even, like, put inflection in his voice when he was talking.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Is he dead now?
I don't know. His career certainly is.
Yeah. No, yeah, well, he was doing Vegas still then. And
I never cared for Wayne Newton anyway.
No.
I don't like a lot of that Vegas crooning kind of, I don't know. And like the Tom Jones stuff and the, I don't care for any of that kind of music. It just doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elton John announced that he's calling it quits. To which I said, he didn't already. But he announced he's doing one final world tour, and he's done. I honestly thought he was already done. I had no idea he was still not done.
I don't think that's a thing. I think that's just a publicity things that people just say. You know, this is it, and I'm done.
Oh, well, when Michael Jackson did This Is It, that was it. I'm just saying. He kept his word.
Yeah, well, I would say that Michael Jackson might be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah, a lot of these rock bands and stuff, they really should call the next one the We Ran Out of Money Tour, because that's really what it is.
I'm certain that there are a couple of people that did that.
Even Fleetwood Mac said they'd never get back together, and they have a few times. Well, not a few, but like in the 90s. Remember that big comeback they had in the 90s?
No.
Oh, it was huge.
Because I didn't trust that they were done. I don't. I can't, like, get behind any of those.
Well, I'll tell you one that they said they were done, and they were done, but then they kind of came back. Remember Spice Girls?
Yeah.
They were done. But they did come back for the Olympics in 2012. Was it 2012 in England?
I remember them coming back. I just don't remember.
But they didn't really come back. They just did a performance together in the Olympics. So I don't know. To me, I think it counts as they actually called it quits, and they did. They called it quits.
Yeah, because one of them needs to be spending all of her time with Tom Brady or something.
Who's with Tom Brady?
I thought one of the Spice Girls.
Really?
Like Pretty Spice, or...
Well, Posh Spice was
Jessica Spice?
Posh was with Beckham.
No, I was thinking... I had confused Victoria with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah. Pretty much the same person, right? Like, could it be like the Mary-Kate and Ashley, how they are the same person, just moving back and forth?
Really fast.
Very fast.
Who is it that keeps...
That's John Oliver.
Is it, yeah, John Oliver has that thing. That's right. No.
That's the show that you a couple of casts ago, you mentioned something that happened on The Daily Show, and then I was watching John Oliver, and he did it. So I think you're confusing The Daily Show with John Oliver.
Maybe.
And his Last Week Tonight.
I watched them both quite a bit.
Yeah, Last Week Tonight has a lot of great stuff. The Daily Show, I haven't, like, really fallen for.
I don't love it. In fact, I disagree with 90% of their politics. But I find it's good to hear what the other side is saying. I usually can rebut most of what they come up with. I just find it asinine. But whatever.
Sure.
But lately, some of their correspondents are really grating on me. They're getting a little too heavy.
Yeah, they're not funny enough, and they're too... Yeah, it's heavy-handed.
Yeah, you're getting it too, right?
I'm not watching Daily Show, because the first couple of times that I watched it, saying, okay, let's give this punk a chance. Not Trevor Noah, all of the other correspondents. I'm like, sure, he looks like he's 22. I'm sure he has something very deep to say about the political spectrum.
And he's only been in America since he started on The Daily Show.
No, I don't mind Trevor Noah. I think Trevor Noah is a fine individual.
I do too.
And I think that he can host the show. I think that he handles the show well.
And it's getting better.
Those correspondents are nothing.
Yeah, I'm not digging them. I agree with you. I'm not feeling it. Have you seen the Jim Jeffries show? It's my favorite news comedy show out there. And there's a lot of them now. You know, there's Samantha Bee.
I really like Samantha Bee. A lot of people hate her. And a lot of people think, a lot of people disguise... Honestly, a lot of people disguise their contempt for her in, like, the fact that she's a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't care that she's a woman. I just don't agree with her politically.
Yeah, but she's getting constant emails about, you know, go back to being a mother, get back in the kitchen, what are you doing? And it's not just one account, you know?
Really?
It's like 600 different people.
But I think they're just using that as a way to get at her because they don't like her. No one wants her to be a mother. I know I don't. Do you want that woman reproducing? Not me.
I like her.
I think she's funny. I think she's funny, but I absolutely disagree with her on almost everything she says and does. But I hate watch the show, full frontal.
You hate watch it?
I do. Well, I want to know what the other side is thinking. Well, back to Jim Jeffries, though. He is a little more centralist. He definitely has more liberal slantings than a traditional Republican or conservative, but I don't feel like he's way wacko about it. And he's Australian. So he's not.
Oh, yeah, Jim Jeffries. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he's got a unique take on American politics, and he's just really funny. His style really appeals to me.
He had a stand-up show come through town like 2 months ago, I think.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Have you seen The President Show on Comedy Central?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Not good.
I watched the first episode of it, and there was one cute point where he talked about... no, it's not great.
Mm-mm. I like the concept. Execution's no good.
Yeah, they tried to do it 12 years ago with That's My Bush. You remember that one?
No.
Yeah, Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah, sure.
Tried to make a lampooning of George W. Bush, and he responded, "You can make fun of me all you want, but you can't put my kids in, because they had the young ones." Mm. But I remember it being amusing.
Well, see, this is what I mean, though. Like, the media, definitely. People say, "Oh, the media's not liberalized." Yeah, it is. You're never going to see one of those for Obama. Oh, you're biting in a way that says you want to... Why don't we move on?
Yeah, let's not talk about politics. So, I called this meeting because last night, did you see it? Or this morning? Did you see it?
The moon?
The super red lunar eclipse moon.
I thought it was the super blue blood moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was blue because there's two full moons in 1 month. It was super because it was closer in orbit than the other full moons.
It was as close as it usually gets in our regular cycle.
And it was a lunar eclipse, so it managed the moon managed to pass into the shadow of the Earth. Sorry, flat earthers, but that's what happened.
No, I'm sure it was something else that someone who pulls the strings did to throw us off.
He put like a little red filter over the moon projector.
You know, I do have to admit, what happened last night with the moon, really hard to explain as a flat earther. I don't know how they explain that one. I've stopped doing the research.
Good.
I've given them all I can give them.
Ah, thank you.
So I don't know what they would say about this, but I would be curious to find out.
We might have another listener.
Who's the other new listener?
I got a coworker named Richard, who says that he's interested in listening. He says he put it on his podcast list.
Well, all right then.
So how many have you gotten? What's your quota at now?
I can't get my wife to listen.
Neither can I. Yeah, I mean, I understand that, like, she has to deal with me for, you know, all the rest of her life.
Exactly.
So why have to spend another hour?
That's pretty much my wife's philosophy on anything that I do. She, you know, I love my wife, and I know she loves me. But when it comes to, like, accomplishments, when I'm, like, really excited because I got this new show or I got this, you know, job offer, I'm in a commercial coming up or whatever, like, I'm always excited about these things. And my wife's like, okay, that's good. You know, like, nothing. Like, no concern or care at all. Well, usually she will ask, well, how much does it pay? That's like the only question she usually asks.
Because she needs to be able to brag about it. And the first question that other people are going to ask is, how much is he getting paid for it? And if she says nothing or $30, then they're like, oh, so it's not a real job then.
I think you may be giving my wife more credit than she's actually earning in this one. She's not like a money grubber. I'm not trying to make her sound out horribly, but she's very much a practical person and very pragmatic in all ways. And that's just an example of how, you know, she doesn't get carried away in flights of fancy. She's just not interested in those things. She's all about the practicality. Well,
no,
is the time with the money?
You know? You and I are the dreamers.
Exactly.
You know? They're the ones that are grounding us. They're the anchor.
Yeah, and
not
in my relationship.
Anchor might be the wrong word.
You know, dragging us down to the bottom of the pit of despair. That's our wives. But hey, they're not listening anyway. We can say what we want.
Oh, man. I'm gonna start saying, like, bad things. I'm going to get into a habit of that. And then she's going to, like, just catch one day and be like, oh, really?
I feel like I'm safe.
Did you hear about the Strava exercise app?
No.
It compiled various people's runnings that they were using on the app and accidentally gave away the location of secret military bases because military members were using the app to run around the base. And they're like, why are all of these Americans doing exercise around this small area?
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's not just Strava that's keeping track of all of this stuff and compiling this stuff. If you have your Google locations on because you use the maps, you know, all of that information is being stored somewhere. And it's kind of like in the casino where I work, people are always saying, oh, the cameras are on and people are going to see stuff. People don't see stuff when you do it. They use that footage later when something like fishy happens. If the person wins $20,000, then they'll go back and check the tape.
Yeah.
So everything that you do, everything that you say, everywhere that you go, imagine like it's done in a casino where nobody's watching it, but anybody in the next 3,000 years can go back and see it.
I think 3,000 might be a little long.
I disagree. I think 3,000 years, people will be able to see this stuff.
Hard drives don't last that long. They'd have to copy and update that data.
Right.
Which wouldn't be worth it if there was nothing that happened 100 years ago in the casino. Yeah. You're not going to bother upgrading it to the new medium.
I think there's going to be, one, there's going to be conservationists that are going to try and keep that stuff. And then the other thing is, some of that stuff is going to stay. You know, it's not going to be perfect, but a lot of that information is going to retain.
Yeah, I just think the media will fail. The hard drives just fail with time. Tape storage can lose its magnetic charge with time. Although they're more likely.
And you get those fuzzy 1980s commercials on YouTube.
Oh, those are fun.
Where it's all like, in the middle.
Yeah, the little blorps and things.
Yeah, the bleeps, the blorps, and the sweeps.
When the tape tracks, does a tracking thing.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I've got a deep callback.
Ooh.
I've got this this bump on my hand right here. And... You all right?
No, I was just checking. I got a news alert about a death. The guy who played Puck on, what's his name, in Glee. Remember Glee?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The guy who played Puck with the mohawk and he had this thing?
Yeah, he killed himself because he had kiddie porn. Yeah.
Well, I think he didn't kill himself because of the kiddie porn. He killed himself because he got caught and was about to get his sentence for the kiddie porn.
Right, but...
Owning it didn't seem to bother him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just got a thing on my watch that told me about that. That's what I was looking at.
Okay. All right. So you're about 36 hours behind the times.
Blame my watch.
You got it. Ted, don't forget to wind your watch.
Well, I did actually know about it earlier. Just some article from Mashable popped up or something.
All
right. That's how it is.
All right.
Did you see the stuff online about him, though?
No.
A lot of people are saying, don't mourn him because of what he did.
Yeah. No,
that seems a little too...
No, I agree. There's nothing that we can learn from him.
That seems harsh. Can't he be a cautionary tale, at least?
Shouldn't the fact that you're looking at, three-year-olds doing it be the cautionary tale?
Well, I'm not saying anything he did in that respect was... That part of his life was redeemable. But, I mean, to completely... erase anything else in his life because of one bad thing.
if it was like a speeding ticket, I'm on board with you. But this was not one bad thing, you know?
Well, it was a hard drive full of bad things.
This was a lifestyle of bad things.
Okay, but to not mourn him for that reason alone, can't you say it was still a shame? Suicide in any situation?
No.
He had loved ones. He had a life. He had other things about him. Does this one sexual proclivity have to completely define his every part of his past?
Yes.
I think that's just too much.
Because it wasn't just one incident. It's not like he stumbled into a three-year-old.
Well, okay. But this was his life. We don't know if he actually committed any abuses himself. We just know that he had some stuff on his hard drive.
And he admitted to it, and he said, yes, this is what I do.
Oh, he's actually done it with kids and stuff?
These are the things that I see. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, it sounds to me like it was just... I mean, again, I'm not justifying it either way. What I'm saying is, because he had some definitely unsavory things on his hard drive that he viewed, and he... enjoyed, doesn't mean he was a complete monster. He just had one monsterish part of his of who he was. But there's a lot that makes up who he is.
There are tiny things where you can say this person isn't a monster for doing tiny things, but this is a huge thing. And if you do one huge monstrous thing, yes, you're a monster.
Wow. It's very black and white. It's funny, because usually I'm the one that's more conservative saying that, and you're the one more liberal.
Yeah.
But we kind of flipped tables on this particular issue.
Yeah, it's you never know what's going to happen here on this wacky show.
I think it's because you and I always try to be contrary. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Okay, like with the doctor, Nasser?
Yeah, that guy.
The Olympic
guy? Yeah, he's done.
Now, I think he was more monsterish, frankly, than like the guy from Glee. Because we know he was acting, we know of actions, and we're talking 20 years of these very, there's some literal harm that we know he committed.
I would find it difficult to compare these two things, because one... is like these were generally
they both got convicted
these
were, of the same crime.
These were 14 to 16 year olds, right? And I'm not saying that it's
no.
It's,
he did younger girls as well.
Younger than 14?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking like 8-year-old gymnastic girls.
Okay, then yeah, that's the same thing.
But he was physically acting on these things with little girls, whereas the other, the Glee guy, all we know is he was enjoying inappropriate content. We don't know if he actually had done any abusing.
Well, you and I don't know.
Well, when I said we, I meant we.
Okay. Well, sometimes you use the royal we. Yeah,
that's true. Oh, this is kind of a dark subject. I think maybe we should get out of
here. Yeah, let's move on.
It's getting a little dark here.
So I'll find something a little lighter. I dreamt that I wrote something.
And then did you write it?
No. I wrote down on a piece of paper and I saw the letters.
Oh,
and so I read and wrote the same thing.
In your sleep. See, I've always maintained that you can do it. I think people can do it.
So I was doing a stand-up comedy act with somebody. And I made a joke about the fact that she didn't have a wedding ring. And I improvised in this stand-up comedy to the audience, you know, how many ladies are wearing rings right now? And then I asked, how many men respect that ring and don't hit on them? By applause. And then I said, now by applause, how many men hit on them anyway? And I thought...
Nice.
And that actually started a fight. Where people were in the audience were, you know, hitting each other. One person got hurt, like, broken arm.
You actually started, like, a fist fight in the stand-up routine in a dream.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I realized that I needed to write down, you know, I should have asked first, how many ladies have worn a ring just to keep men away? Ask that one first and then go back to that second thing. That would be less fighty. So I wrote that down. Change the order.
I've seen enough stand-up routines. There's no way that would start a fight.
You don't think so?
No way. You know, have you ever seen Daniel Tosh do stand-up?
No.
I know you hate him.
No, and I'll live very well into my 71 years of age, never seeing Daniel Tosh.
Well, my point being that if anyone's words in a stand-up routine are going to start a fight, I think Daniel Tosh has a much better chance of doing it than you. Even you have to agree with that, not having seen one of his stand-up routines.
You're saying I can't start a fight?
Who's the sexist stand-up guy? Billy Burr or something like that? Have you heard of this guy?
No.
He's single. He dates girls, but, you know, he's not married. So he's had long-term girlfriends and stuff. But most of his stand-up routines are kind of, they're viewed as anti-women stand-up routines. You know, he talks about they want equal rights, but when the ship's going down, suddenly they want to be in the life raft first. Like, all the rules go out of the way when it comes to their convenience.
Okay.
You know, and that's one of his shticks. But he digs into a lot of that. And I imagine that he gets a lot of ire for his stand-up routine, especially in today's world. I mean, he says... A lot of what he says kind of sounds like practical sense if you're not woke, as the kids call it these days.
I would bet you that he, with all of his antagonism, gets fewer hate mail messages than Samantha Bee.
That may be true, but I don't think he has such a big platform because you don't even know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So that is another reason why that scale would be tipped in her favor.
Although, did you see that the Boys of Late Night magazine cover?
No.
When they added, who was the late night black guy comedian after The Daily Show?
Larry Moore.
Yeah, after they added Larry Moore and John Oliver, they made a magazine cover of all of the late night talk show hosts and disincluded Samantha Bee, even though she already had a talk show.
I don't see any problem with that.
Everybody else except Samantha Bee.
Yeah, but she's on TBS. Yeah. Was Conan O'Brien in it?
Yeah.
He's on TBS, too.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Is she on Nightly?
Yeah.
Was my man
John
Jim Jeffries on there?
I don't know. I don't think he had a show yet.
Maybe. Maybe her show just isn't good enough.
Yeah, probably. I mean, she is a woman and all.
See, I don't think it's about her gender.
I would say that the way that our society is set up is that women are kind of in the support role of comedy, that they have to be the straight man. They have to laugh at the witty man's jokes. And they don't really get the practice of being the one with the humor.
I think that's changed a lot. I mean, like, again, we talked about Carol Burnett from way back when.
No, no, go ahead. Thanks.
You know, that was way back when.
I think there are a couple of
Lucille
exceptions.
Ball was the star of the comedy.
I think there are a handful of exceptions.
In fact, in I Love Lucy, the straight man was indeed a man. Right? So, but even, like, Tina Fey. I don't think she was necessarily always the straight man to other silly people around them.
Yeah, but I just don't think that in general women have the freedom.
I don't know. I mean, look at Garfunkel and Oates. Have you heard of them?
No.
They're the girl duo that sing quirky songs with ukuleles, and they had a TV show. I think it was on Comedy Central, and they do comedy music, and they're pretty well known. Her name is Stacey Micucci. Have you heard of her?
Nope.
She was on Scrubs for a while, did the silly ukulele songs there. You would recognize them if you saw them. I'm sure you would have. The other one of Garfunkel & Oates, she's on that Another Period show that takes place in the early 1900s, turn of the century. Nothing, huh?
Oh, Drunk History?
No. That too, but no, she... anyway, these are girls that they rock their own comedy stuff. It's all them.
Do you watch Broad City?
I tried, but it didn't work for me.
It's good stoner comedy.
Maybe.
If you're the kind that likes to get drunk.
I heard a lot about Broad City, so I gave it a shot. But you know, frankly, if I'm not laughing, I'm not watching it again.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't do it for me. And it's, you can call me sexist, you can say it's a race thing if you want, I don't know. All I know is
it's a race
it didn't
thing.
Work for me.
Right.
You know, I used to be this kind of, like, I would have this almost white guilt conscious, like, I guess I have to watch the show or else it makes me sexist, or I have to watch the show or it makes mm-hmm. me racist or something. But after a while, it's like, you know what, no, if I don't like the show, I don't like the show, and I don't care, I don't know what it is, I don't have to analyze why I don't like it. If I don't like it, I'm just not going to watch it.
All right.
I don't care anymore why I don't like it. I gave up trying to please people who don't even know what I'm watching. I mean, I like the show Blackish. That's one of the shows I watch regularly.
I don't think you can be a full-service TV concierge if you don't watch those other shows.
Can't watch Empire, though. Can't watch Empire at all. I can't do it. Everyone loves Empire. I can't get into it.
I've never seen it.
What? You don't know who Cookie is?
No.
I don't either. I just know it's a name they talk about from the show.
Yeah. Cookie kind of reminds me of the Jersey Shore. Isn't that the name of one of the characters on the Jersey Shore? Is Cookie?
That's Snooki.
Snooki, okay.
Snooki.
Isn't that the name of Garfield's teddy bear?
Is it?
Pookie. Or Pookie.
Not to be confused with Poochie.
Isn't that the name of the furry thing that's friends with Han Solo?
Wookie?
Oh, right.
I feel like we're playing a game, a rhyme game.
Let's Do Lunch is brought to you in part by the Heimlich Maneuver, saving dinner conversations since 1855.
I was looking at their new menu item thing, and I'm kind of tempted to try this if we ever come back early enough for a good breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Red velvet waffles.
Red velvet isn't a real flavor.
Okay, can we get into that? I want to talk about that. What is this red velvet thing? Is it just regular cake dyed red? Because if so, I think I'm being cheated.
It is.
Isn't it supposed to be something more than just red dye?
Red velvet, you have to have the green cheese frosting with it. Otherwise, it's absolutely frightening.
Wait, so that's just the frosting. What's the red have to do with anything?
I don't know, but it's the whole combination of the whole thing that is just absolutely delicious.
But what if you put that frosting on non-dyed red cake, like regular white cake? Would it be the same difference?
No, I don't know what it is.
But it's not,
okay.
Red velvet is not like chocolate where, like, you know what it is. Red velvet is like this and this and this and this.
It's a mysterious concoction,
it
right?
Is, and it's like, it's a special treat.
That's the secret. Okay.
Well,
yeah, likewise. Thank you. Well, that was helpful.
Yeah, we had a little sidebar.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And now I know a little more about I still,
Does it feel like we need to buy them dessert? Is this like a thing that we're going to do now? So we just have a random...
They have red velvet waffles. I don't know if that's the same thing.
I don't know. I've always been suspicious of red velvet cake.
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't taste good, but is it anything different, or is it red dye?
Yeah, kind of like...
Yeah. But, you know, and I had someone else say something about the frosting to me before, too. They said that, yeah, it's all about the frosting. I'm thinking, well, then what's the red velvet have to do with anything?
It lets you know that the frosting is going to be there. Mm.
Okay. You've seen the frosting first.
The Wookiee thing that I... The rookie and bookie and pookie... I did that because I was reminded of a Twitter thing from a little while ago when they mentioned Rick and Morty. Somebody asked, isn't Rick and Morty that thing you get when you die and your body gets all stiff? And somebody responded, you're thinking rigor mortis. Rick and Morty is when you get trolled into watching Never Gonna Give You Up. And somebody else says, that's Rick rolling. Rick and Morty is a type of pasta. Somebody else says, that's rigatoni. Rick and Morty is the study of rheumatism, arthritis, and other disorders of the joints, muscles, and ligaments. That's roly-poly. Rick and Morty is the character Will Ferrell plays in Talladega Nights. That's Ricky Bobby. Rick and Morty is a show about a pawn shop where you never know who's coming through the door. That's Rick Harrison. Rick and Morty is the guy who sang Super Freak. That's Rick James. Rick and Morty is the WWE guy who goes woo a lot. That's Ric Flair. Rick and Morty is the guy who ruled England for the third time. That's King Richard. Rick and Morty is Kenny Chesney's hit country song. Featuring inspiring lyrics such as Green Grass, Help the Cows Graze, Hedge Fund 401. You're thinking of Rich and Miserable. Rick and Morty is a wetland bog in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. That's Red Moss. And it goes on.
And these are all individual tweets piled on?
These are all different people.
That's
just
awesome.
Different people.
The first handful were definitely better than the second handful.
Well, it's just the same joke over and over again.
But the low fruit, the better tie-ins were taken. But nonetheless, I enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's good.
We need a self-administered cancer screening. Just, you just scoop a little bit off, and you send it in to wherever they send the 23andMe DNA stuff. And then they come back and say, congratulations, you have cancer.
I think they say condolences, you have cancer, but whatever.
Yeah, something that starts with cun.
Yeah. Oh, that was so dangerously close. Okay. Almost had a mark explicit on this one. Uh-huh. That was, razor thin. Well, that's an interesting invention. Again, like we've talked about before, you don't have to have an invention that's actually feasible or that you could technically pull off.
Yeah.
Because this one definitely does not meet those criteria.
I mean, I've got a couple of other inventions. I go up to a vending machine and I try and get a little bit of ice, like in coffee or something like that, so it cools it down. I just want like 2 or 3 cubes, and like nothing comes out, and nothing comes out, and then 60
comes out.
And then
it's like, poof, all at once,
you
avalanche.
You need a button on the side, just a few cubes.
That is genius.
Why not?
Or like, you know, these things are usually made in individual little like scoops that make the shape. They could dole them out one at a time. Why not just have a thing where you push the button, 4, enter, and 4 come out?
Oh, that's a little complicated, but I still think doable.
Just an up and down arrow. Yeah. Just pick your number. And then there could be like a quick 10 button.
Yeah, plus know. 10, minus 10. Like
right.
A,
but you
like
could
a microwave.
We could have a 1 up, 1 down. So you can get the exact, like, I just want, literally, I want 3. 1, 2, 3, start. Boom, you get your 3.
It'll help add to people's sense of individuality that, no, I'm not a 15 ice cube person, I'm a 13 ice cube person.
Right.
And thank you for trying to assume that I'm a 15
ice cube
person.
It would eliminate waste, because you always see the pile of discarded ice cubes at these, like, soda fountains.
That you have to scoop up and dump in a urinal.
I leave them there.
You've never...
I don't do that. That's very nice of you. Are you collecting a paycheck when you do this?
I do it for free.
You're a nice man. Yeah. But, I mean, think of it. You've seen that, right? These piles of leftover ice.
Oh, yeah.
Because people get too much, and they dump half of it back out on the thing. We would eliminate waste.
Mm-hmm.
We would get out of convenience. People would love it. I mean, that is the best invention.
Yeah, genius invention.
Of course, my add-on to yours made it better. I'm just saying.
Sure.
But between the two of us, we've got a product.
Yeah, you're always trying to sell them, though. That's what I don't get. There's no way that, like...
Oh, it would sell. I mean, think about the guy who invented that custom your soda machines that are all over the fast food places now. You know, you add in the lemon, or you add in the raspberry flavor, or peach flavor.
I already don't like soda fountains because the ratio is never right. But to make it so that, you know, it's all internalized like that and nobody's really watching the machine... That makes me even more nervous.
I think the guy who invented that is laughing all the way to the bank. And I agree. I agree with his idea. I think it was a phenomenal idea. I'm surprised it took this long for those to get out to where they got out.
Well, you're not a Dr. Pepper aficionado like I am.
You ever add vanilla to Dr. Pepper? It's pretty good.
Ew.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Or
23 flavors, not 24.
Or add a little cherry to Dr. Pepper.
23. Actually, Dr. Pepper is part cherry.
It is already part cherry, right. But you add a little more grenadine to it or something.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty darn good. You can't deny that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can. Dr. Pepper is fine the way it is. I call this our bee lunch.
Yes.
And I just found out that there is a restaurant called Bee Lunch.
Or Blunch. Is there a restaurant called Blunch? Is it Air in the Valley?
No, it's, I want to say like New Jersey. It's in the Northeast. But this Zagat review caught my eye because they put in quotes for no apparent reason. Like those air quotes, you know?
I hate
They put
quotes.
Them all over the place. It goes, this, quote, popular little joint, unquote, in the South End is a daytime, quote, favorite, unquote, thanks to, quote, excellent, unquote, comma, quote, fresh, unquote, pressed sandwiches, breakfast, single quote, egg witches, and
double quote,
good portions of other cafe eats. It, quote, gets crowded quickly.
You know, this is one of those things where if they're not actually quoting other reviewers, like in summary,
yeah,
then it makes everything they put sound sarcastic.
But this is Zagat. Like, Zagat should know better.
I would hope so.
But they didn't.
Like, people do that all the time. Like, I would see this in Guam a lot. People would do bad grammar, and then on top of that, like, they'd pay, like, fresh eggs and quote marks.
Yeah.
And that makes it sound like they're being sarcastic. No. Like, yeah, these eggs are, quote, fresh,
right? I don't understand why fresh pressed sandwiches, only fresh is in quotes.
Yeah.
And then they talk about
bad.
Then they talk about egg witches and they only use single quotes?
Because it's a quote inside of a quote. They must have lost track of their quote marks.
No. At least they cut under their quota.
Weird Al talked about doing that in his song, the grammar song.
Word crimes.
He talked about that. He says you should not use quotes for
emphasis.
For emphasis. That's what italics are for. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say it in those words, obviously. He puts it in the song. Yeah. But I felt so redeemed when I heard him do that.
Yeah. That is... Word Crimes is probably one of the best songs of 2010.
It's so underrated. Underrated. And it's better than the original song by far.
And the video is amazing
The video is excellent. And even talked about using the commas to separate lists. And he's like, but you can use the Oxford comma. You know, because sometimes you use the comma for the last item where you have an and.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate either way. They call it an Oxford comma.
Yes.
I didn't know it was called an Oxford comma until Weird Al.
I did know it was called an Oxford comma.
I didn't know that. I knew what it was, and I knew about the rules, but I did not know the name. So I also learned a lot from Weird Al.
Yeah.
I tell you, I love that man.
No, I actually didn't like the Blurred Lines song.
I didn't either.
But then when I watched the Word Crimes, I loved that song.
Right.
And now when I hear the Blurred Lines, I start dancing because I'm thinking of the Word Crimes song.
Yeah.
And people are like, this is a song about, you know, being mean to women. And I'm like, no, I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah, the premise of Blurred Lines is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Have we completed all the tasks that are required to call this a successful
lunch?
I got
more stuff that we can talk about, but I think we should
it is about time, but there's one thing we just... Did we talk enough about The Simpsons to call this a full thing?
We didn't touch The Simpsons at all.
Remember I talked about they're doing this nostalgia thing?
Yeah.
They also had an episode recently where they brought back the Pen Pals.
Pin Pals?
The Pin Pals, sorry.
Okay.
They brought the Pin Pals back again. It was a Mo episode, so it wasn't that great. In my opinion.
No.
Mo episodes usually aren't that good.
Mo used to be great. As Zombie Simpsons, that one thing said, you know, he used to be an amazing, and then he just decided to become a weird boyfriend to Marge.
Mo episodes are not my favorite. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Mo episodes anymore.
When Mo came bursting in with the rusty and dull knife to try and get Jimbo, that was amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't call Marge Midge anymore. He stopped doing that. I loved that he always called her Midge.
Yeah.
And now, like this last episode, last season, he hasn't called her Midge. It's over.
Yeah. All right. Anything you want to talk about?
No. I'm ready for you to play us out.
All right. Let's go be average elsewhere.
Are you as full as I am? Thanks for having lunch with us today. You can subscribe to the Let's Do Lunch podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. We already made reservations at the next restaurant. Join us or we lose the good table.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Bodine Tech. Bodine Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Bodine Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Bodine Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at bodinellc.com. BodineLLC.com.